today I'm here with Emerson from Peixe Urbano. And Emerson is actually in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And his company is one of the more successful internet companies in Latin America, doing started with daily deals but has expanded into a lot of areas. And Emerson's going to tell us all about it. So thank you, joining us.
Thank you. Very nice talking to you and all your audience.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your background, where you grew up and where you went to school and the stuff you've been doing?
Sure. So I was born in Brazil, though my mother is from Argentina and my dad is from Brazil. I come from a city in the south of Brazil, it's Curitiba. And then in 2005, I decided to get my MBA at Stanford in the U.S. So I moved to the U.S. in 2005. And when I graduated, I took a job at Microsoft in Seattle, where I worked for 3 years before coming back to Brazil, and then more specifically to Rio, and I came back to start Peixe Urbano.
And were you there at the very beginning when the site started?
Yeah. So we're three founders. One of them was my classmate at Stanford, New Salon, because we give the discount. But there are other ways to help people get to know their city and to explore more new restaurants or new services in their city. So that was the idea since the beginning, and we started to execute that about a year or so ago when we started to do a few acquisitions to launch new businesses. One of them you just mentioned is reservations, so like OpenTable. The other one is online ordering for delivery. Like in the U.S., you have Grubhub and what's the name? Maybe you can help in New York. I know there's a big one in New York. But we've been in touch with the
Seamless.
Grubhub folks because – yeah, Seamless. Perfect. Yeah, Seamless. Yeah, we've been in touch with the Grubhub folks because Benchmark invested in them as well. So if you think in the U.S., you have – for each segment of those, you have one strong company. You think about reservations, OpenTable. You think about deals, you think Groupon. You think about a guide, you think probably about Yelp. Delivery is still – we're still about to learn who is going to be really big. But you probably don't think about many companies other than these two that we talked about. So it's pretty hard for any of those to enter into the other segments because there is already a strong player there. In our case, there's no big player in reservations. There's no big player in online ordering. There's no big player in guide. So we felt back then that we could build something with aggregate and have all these services for our user.
Which is really an incredible model because Groupon is obviously in a little bit of trouble in the U.S., but all of these other areas have been built out, whereas by comparison, I don't know how well Seamless is doing. I've had some problems with some of their ordering, so I actually don't use them as much because they got some of my orders wrong. But, I mean, Seamless is growing, and it is doing a good job. And OpenTable has been strong for a long time, and so it would seem like you're building like a big tree and that you're able to build a good foundation under the tree as well.
Yeah, the idea would be, I mean, we think two ways. One way we think about the user. And for the user, we like to help them, as I said, I mean, explore the city. So how can you help them explore the city? Well, if you have a good guide, like Yelp type guide, where people can go see pictures, post pictures, see where their friends are going and read reviews and post reviews, that's one way. The other way is once they decide where they want to go, they can make a reservation. Or maybe if the place has a delivery, so they can order immediately online.
Right.
Or perhaps the place has an offer that day, so they can buy an offer. So it's kind of a platform where you give several options to our users so that they can explore the city. So this is looking from the user side. Then we have the merchant side. When you think about the merchant, we like to offer them several ways that they can grow and manage their businesses. So with the daily deal, we can take like 100 or 1,000 new customers to that merchant that they can then serve well and get their loyalty. In the case of delivery, I mean, we have several of our merchants who say, well, before I had like many more people taking phone calls and taking the order through the phone and getting the credit card through the phone. Now my order arrives via the internet, ready and paid. So we help them like manage and expedite their businesses. Just two examples. So the our focus would be always like that. I mean, what else can we provide our users that they can better explore the city? What else we can provide our merchants so that they can grow, get loyalty from people who are going there, or manage better in a better way their businesses?
Does this then become like, if you have the all of these relationships with a lot of different types of merchants, and then you have the ability to deliver stuff, does this start you in the direction of being a Brazilian Amazon?
I think it's different because we sell very little products. We don't deal with delivery of products or goods. It's mainly about services. Well, we do have a few deals that involve goods, but still we're not delivering. We don't have any warehouses, so we're not going to go into that direction like Amazon. But we do want to be the destination for people when they want to go out, try new things, reserve, order, experiment, so that or read reviews or post pictures that of dishes that they liked in a restaurant. So that's the idea. And one thing that you just said, which is true. I mean, our big asset is that when you think about those two, users and merchants. So we have about 20 million users, and we have about 25 to 30,000 merchants we had a business relationship with in the last 2-3 years. So what we're doing is leveraging those two assets that we have to build on top of it.
Yeah, no, I mean it's great, and I would bet there's going to be more directions that you can build things out as well.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about, and I mean the idea would be that we launch other things in the future that help us doing the things that I mentioned to you.
I mean, I would imagine, given that the early stage you're at, you're going to have the potential to be able to do businesses like handling credit card processing for internet companies, because I imagine none of that's very good down there, and you've had to deal with a lot of problems in those sorts of areas too.
Yeah, or other things that we could do is like provide more services to merchants. Like, I'll give you a simple example that we're doing for free now. After we run a deal, the user, when they go to our website, when they check that they use the coupon, we open a survey with them about the merchant, and we get a lot of responses. So it's actually like very very good. I mean the rate of response that we get. So then we prepare a report for the merchant saying so. 80% of the people like their service, they would recommend and come back, but the main issues that they complain are these, this, and this, and the average age of the people who came are this age, and they come from this neighborhood, and these are also like a few of the comments that they made, and where this is already working, and now soon we're going to provide a way for them to talk directly with that user that made that specific comment. So this is just, I mean, one example of something that will. I mean, it also helps the merchant with their businesses by getting feedback.
Right. So going internationally, you guys have gone into about 3 or 4 other countries. Is that right?
Well, what happened is this: we went after Argentina, Mexico, and Chile. Grew the business up to a point, but decided about a year and a half there, decided that we should concentrate our focus in Brazil. Like, it's a big country, a lot of things going on here, a lot of opportunity, and we felt that we didn't have the bandwidth to take care of the business in the other countries at the point. So we actually already sold our operations in all these countries.
Oh, really? So you've cut back, and you're now only focused again on Brazil.
Yes, we're only focusing back on Brazil. So it was very good for us. I mean, we had a good experience. we had good growth. We're doing well. But really, I mean, we felt that, I mean, our focus being from here is we are here, should be Brazil. And then in Argentina, for example, we sold our business to La Nación, which is one of the two largest newspapers in Argentina, you know, Clarín and La Nación. And they're continuing, like, they're continuing to grow the business. So we're happy what we've done there, but decided, like, really, the focus should be here.
In terms of where you've located the business, have you ever regretted being in Rio and not being in Sao Paulo? Like, maybe a lot of these things like international operations would have been easier if you had been based out of Sao Paulo.
No, not really. No, no regrets. I mean, no, I think, I mean, we had good things going on here. Also, like, the, we had, I mean, the environment is great here. I mean, I know that this is kind of, maybe if you're going to build a business, it's a little bit secondary, but the weather is good. The people are motivated here and things work well. I mean, there are a few things that would have been better, in Sao Paulo. Well, not to the point that we say, oh, we should have gone back and we should have started in Sao Paulo or let's move to Sao Paulo. No, we don't think about that.
If you were doing it over, would you start in Sao Paulo?
No, probably not. No.
I mean, Rio is a fun city. You've got the beaches and everything there, so that certainly makes it nice.
Well, some people ask me, so do you like living in Rio? And said, yeah, I do. How about the beaches? Well, I don't go that often because I've been working a lot in the last 3 years.
Yeah, so you've basically had no life for the last 3 years, have you? You've just been working all the time.
Yeah. Oh, and especially the first year, I mean, it was really something. I mean, we worked like 20 hours literally per day, and Very Nice was just like back to back. So it was, I mean, incredible. I mean, it was fun and all. I mean, and in fact, it was probably the best part of everything. But it was really very tough. I mean, we really worked a lot.
I'm willing to bet you'll never forget those times, and those are going to be some of the most memorable, that memorable year of your life, that when you're working there like that.
Oh, for sure. Even now, I mean, I sat with Julio last week. We had dinner, and we were just talking about the first year. It was very exciting. I mean, again, when we were there, like, it was like we always felt like we were at the verge of breaking down. Everything is going to, from one day to the other, was going to break down and stop working, but it never did. It just continued, and it was really great.
Cool. So is there some things you'd like to tell us which we haven't covered because we're almost out of time?
No, I think we covered, like, I mean, I really wanted to talk about where we're going, what's the strategy now, and we had the time to talk about it. We also talked about how we started. I think so. For Brazilians here, it's a different and interesting story. They're not so many startups or internet startups that grew as fast and had this, I mean, that the brand got so strong in just a few years. So I always like to talk about that because we've seen that a lot of people here in Brazil were inspired by that. And we've seen many, many new companies being launched. And sometimes they mention to us that, I mean, what we did was something that has motivated them also to try and to start a business. So we covered that as well. So I think it was a great interview.
Actually, I mean, that's an interesting point because one of the problems in Brazilian culture is that people are conditioned to just go and get a job and have the job for the rest of your life and not try and do stuff like this, right? So you guys are starting to change that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of people here like the safety of a government employment, for example. Not so many people, they risk so much. I mean, there are many people who open businesses, but, I guess, risking a lot with, like an idea of growing a business nationally, like that, not many. So, in fact, we don't have a lot of examples in Brazil of internet companies, even from the times of the, like the 2000. It is good that we can and also help in that show people that it's possible. I mean, it's risky. You're gonna work hard a lot, make mistakes, But still, it's possible to build a large business. So I'm kind of like proud that we reached that point with PatientUrbano.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years ago, it was just three guys talking a bit, and now you've got 1,000 employees. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, right, right.
All right, Emerson, well, thank you very much for the interview.
Well, thank you, Adrian. Very nice to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to, I'm going to go to your website and listen to a few of the interviews.
Awesome.